Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. It's a wonderful day here in Wolverhampton. We were on this track yesterday and the birds were going completely crazy. So I think they might be doing that today as well. Everything around us is very, very happy. All the leaves are out, bright sunshine, birds singing, every bees humming. Everything feels very, very alive. So we're pleased to be out. So those of you who don't know, well, method is to walk and talk, because that's the way that we like to do it. So that's why there's all this background noise to our recordings, rather than a nice clean studio recording. But we find it more fun this way. Anyway, this is episode 14 of our Lao Tzu series, chapters 23 and 24. And the reason why the episodes don't correspond with the chapters is sometimes we would do two or three chapters in one. So what we're going to do is we're going to read out chapter 23 and then have a talk about it.
It is a natural thing to talk sparingly, and surely this is right, because even a great wind and lashing rain do not go on forever. It is naturally so. Both heaven and earth know it. And if neither can hold on to such an outpouring for long, what makes people think they can? If you follow the Tao, all you do will belong to it. If you act with virtue, all you do will have its power. If you lose these, then every way you will be lost. If you go the way of Tao, it can only be with you. If you go the way of virtue, its purity will sustain you. But if you go the way of loss, then that will be your name. And if you cannot trust, no one will trust you.
Okay. So tell me, Dr. Yates, what do you think Lao Tzu is telling us here? Pointing out here.
It's advice that I'll never take. It's don't talk too much.
Don't talk too much, but write a big book.
Yeah. In a sense, he's coming right back to the beginning and drawing our attention to the yin and the yang, and the way that they depend on each other and the way that they transform into each other. And the way in which nothing persists forever, and that in fact there are cycles, and that phenomena turn into other phenomena and then back again, perhaps, you know, or even into further phenomena. So he's just drawing our attention back to that, and it's on the matter of expression. Human expression, which of course is talking, use of language, and he's pointing out that you don't have to talk all the time. It's okay to be quiet. In fact, it's probably necessary to be quiet. And he described this as natural, because in nature this is what occurs. A storm never persists forever. Eventually, it burns itself out. And similarly, an urge to express. Unless one interferes with it, unless it's overridden by manners and customs, we'll also expend itself. We'll also become spent. And this is why he says it's natural to talk sparingly. And then he's recommending, actually, with regard to our expression, our communication, that we, and in fact everything, all of our living, that we hold to the Tao. And it's the Tao itself which is responsible for these cycles, for outpourings of talk, or for in nature, for storms, or at some point to change, to cease and to change, and to move over into the opposite, for the yin to move to the yang, and for the yang to then move to the yin. And this is the way of Tao And he's advising us to align with those natural rhythms. And he says, if you follow the Tao, all you do will belong to it. And then he talks about virtue. Virtue is actually the second word in the title of the book, you know, Tao De Jing, spelt T-E, usually in English transliterations, De, virtue. And that is actually the power of the Tao. And again, you can align with it, you can align with the power of the Tao. And you'll be able to do things, you'll be effective when you need to be. But able to be quiet when you need to be, there'll be no unease around not talking. And this is what he's getting at, really. It's pointing us towards being alert to these natural rhythms and aligned with them, and then things work for us. We actually practically become effective and able to do things, able to harness the power of that disposition. He also points out the consequences of not going that way. things will fuck up. If you can't be at ease with the quiet, if you can't speak when speaking is required, and to know the difference is that you kind of get out of kilter with yourself and things fuck up, you know, and you don't know why half the time if you're kind of in that sort of zone, you know.
Yeah.
It just seems it's
an important skill, really.
Yeah.
You call it a skill.
Yeah.
Being able to kind of spontaneously be able to ease yourself into doing the right things at the right time and not doing things at the right time.
And then at the end he says, if you cannot trust, no one will trust you. And he's talking there about trusting this process, this deep underlying process of existence itself. It's rhythmic nature, it's cyclical nature, and the way in which the opposites depend, the way in which speech and silence depend on each other, the way in which sunny days will give way to stormy days, and so on.
Yeah.
And you trust that and work with that, you work with the grain.
Oh, yeah.
And that, if you all actually like that, you find that people trust you. And it's true. Just try it. And people will tell you their life stories at bus stops and things, you know. just because of the way your face looks or something, because you're fairly relaxed.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to move on to the next one.
So this is chapter 24.
Yeah. A man on tiptoe can't walk easily. The man who strides on ahead is bound to tire. The kind of person who always insists on his way of seeing things can never learn anything from anyone. Those who always want to be seen will never help others to be. The showman is never secretly respected by anyone. People like these, say the wise ones, are as useless as the leftover food at a feast. No true follower can relate to them.
It's kind of self-explanatory, really, I suppose, that one, a bit, really.
He's been a bit of a bitch about people. It's a continuation of the previous one. In the previous one, he points out, he reminds us again and for the 100th time about the way opposites depend on each other and about everything in nature and in ourselves, because we are nature, is movement. He reminds us of that and advises aligning with the bigger movement itself, with the grain of things, and that way things go well for us, and it's practically very useful to be able to do that. And often disastrous to go the other way, to fail to use and notice even the grain of things, the bigger cycles, the movement of yin to yang and yang to yin. Here he tells us sort of how to do it on the personal level, how to actually do that alignment with the Tao, coming to be with the Tao. Which is the best way to operate in human life. This is what all this is about, you know, how is life to be lived?
Yeah.
Like this, in alignment with the Tao. And he explains here, just how you as an individual can do it. The previous chapter, chapter 23, gives you the big overarching cosmic reasons for aligning with the Tao, and this one is honing in a bit more on the individual about a way of being as a person.
Yeah.
And he says a man on tiptoe can't walk easily. The man who strides on ahead is bound to tire. It's actually about meditation. It's about the meditation which brings you into line with the Tao, into alignment with the Tao. That meditation, you just drop into it. You drop into the alignment because it is, it's nature. And you're yourself a nature. And the Taoist love, that sort of going off into the mountains and sitting and watching the clouds style of meditation. That can be kind of more extroverted than some of the Indian styles of meditation. But you can understand from these chapters the love they've got for contemplation in nature, of nature, the clouds, the seasons, the rivers, the trees, the growth, the weather, the beautiful solitude of the mountains. But this is actually about that meditation, and it's about not trying too hard, you know, not being too artificial, not being too technically bound. That would be standing on tiptoe. But of course, stand on tiptoe.
Like effort.
Effort and having to develop certain skills and cultivation.
Yeah.
So you stand on tiptoe, you can't walk properly.
Yeah.
This is in a roundabout, slightly oblique way, getting us to just settle in, you know. Not to go for that kind of artificiality and over-technicality. Same thing with the man who strides on ahead, he's bound to tire. You know, you can tie yourself out with all this stuff. And it's counterproductive. Here's what he's saying there. And then he says, well, if you insist on your own way of seeing things, you'll never learn from anybody. And again, this is the method of the Taoist meditation, which is openness. You know, and almost a kind of scientific willingness to revise the way you see things in the light of evidence, to be honest with you. So what he's advising there for your meditative practice is not gripping too tightly onto doctrines, perhaps, you know, and opinions, and having a sort of openness to the revisability of where one stands. And I think that's pretty cool advice, really. Yeah.
Aye.
And it's that kind of attitude at the bottom is why Taoism did give rise to the development of science in ancient China, which I mentioned before, which was scientifically developed way ahead of anybody else on the planet early on because of this Taoist attitude, almost empirical attitude, you know, being willing to revise ideas about the way things work at the level of detail in the light of evidence and they said they were more extroverted. They used the senses to look at the world and at nature. And they were a bit more ready to do that than meditative traditions which want you to go right back to the kind of last quark of consciousness, right deep inside yourself, going right into the seed, into the bij, you know, the seed of consciousness. Slightly different emphasis, but could, as it found its way out into culture, could produce sort of quite different styles of culture. And he goes on, those who always want to be seen will never help others to be. The showman is never secretly respected by anyone. Again, he likes this kind of modesty, doesn't he? You know, don't talk too much. Don't draw attention to yourself too much. It's kind of very, there's a virtue in some kind of low-key way of being, in humility and so forth. But there's an observation there as well. I mean, our culture loves to get people to extrovert with great abandon and expose all their quirks and follies and strangeness and reality TV and stuff, only for the pleasure of bringing them down, you know, that whole bread and circuses of celebrity culture. And it's something like that he's talking about there. The real respect from others isn't really going to come from making a great song and dance about yourself. Even though it will appear that you have that respect until the moment you trip, you know. And the whole kind of bread and circuses thing is waiting for people to trip, to build them up and then knock them down. And it's kind of ghastly, really.
I know. And I just don't get it. That's just a real horrible way of being.
Schadenfreude, you know, pleasure in the misfortune of others. But he's warning against it as something that will be a slight obstacle to your meditation.
Yeah.
Don't get too full of yourself. I mean, then he's very rude. He says the wise ones say people like this are kind of more useless than the food left out. You know, he's been a bit of a bitch there. A great wise man, but and no true follower can relate to them. And I think he's talking about people who would be our teachers, the would be improvers of mankind. And he's warning us against the ones that make a big splash and a big show, and have got a great publicity machine. And millions of followers, but really, the minute it goes pear-shaped, which it will, they're kind of like rats off a sinking ship, you know. And he's kind of warning you against that, and to listen to a quieter and more subtle note, really, in the universe. If you are going to seek advice, perhaps, you know. So there's a bit of a thing that he's got going there. So, I mean, I'll recap. Basically, it once again drawing our attention to the dependence of the yin on the yang and the yang on the yin, and the way the one turns to the other. You know. In other words, to change, but also to rhythmic change and seasons, you might say, in existence. And advises us to find that rhythm in ourselves and that mutual dependence of opposites in ourselves and to align with that. But first of all, he explains it cosmically, and then he explains it personally and basically gives you some ideas about how to do that. And this is basically a meditation instruction. About not getting too complicated. Not turning the thing into a circus or being involved in a circus that kind of rise around all this stuff. Spiritual supermarket, I suppose. There's warnings against a spiritual supermarket there, aren't there?
Yeah.
And it is, it is about not getting too complicated, not getting too technically obsessed or even technically involved, because after all we are nature, we do have the Tao already, and it's more a case of avoiding the ways we can get out of focus with the Tao and then just simply being with it than a case of cultivating it, because you can't really cultivate it, you know. What is the sense of cultivating what you already are and what you already have? So this is where he's going with that, I think, and I think it's good advice.
I think the birds are agreeing with you.
Yeah, and he didn't have to be a bitch about the people that trip up on all this. We're human, after all. Sorry, Uncle Lou. So I think that's about what I've got to say about that.
Okay, well, I hope you found that useful, pleasant, entertaining, perhaps. But most of all, I hope you all feel like you've been on this walk with us. Because it's absolutely gorgeous. It's like everything that I can see right now is smiling. Every leaf, every stone. There is literally not a cloud in the sky.
But one day the storm will come.
So one day the storm will come. But right now, everything around me is completely joyful. So I hope you're getting that vibe and you're getting a bit of joy from this recording. Yeah. That's what I would hope for you all.
We're just sinking into it and drifting
in
along.
In my mind, I brought you all along for this walk, and we're all having a nice, happy time walking and talking together. So I hope to speak to you all again soon, and we hope you're having as good a day as we are.